I've been in the personal development industry for 20 years now. We have active clients in 131 countries around the world. If the entire future of your business depended on you keeping those clients, how would you run it different? You would ensure they get results. We tend to chase what we're passionate about, what we're excited about. If you want a business to last, you have to reverse that and say, where do my clients get the best results? My wife has this deep-rooted desire to have a fund we put together where the fund interest will perpetually and forever pay for causes we really believe in, something called the Hershey Fund. Luckily, Dad just finished writing a really cool book on the topic, and I was like, huh, Dad's on this too. He sees what I see. I went and talked to Dad and his team. I'm like, I got to invest in this stuff last year, and I've seen the return and how they're doing it. I'm like, this is incredible. This is amazing. One of the greatest gifts my dad gave me was the ability to earn my dreams.
Hello, Jarek. How are you?
Hey, sir.
I'm doing good. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
How's on Puerto Rico?
It is wonderful. A little windy right now, but the ocean is gleaming with sunlight. The waves are crashing. Besides the wind, it is spectacular.
That's amazing. Jarek, I'm so appreciative and so grateful to have you on today. Has always been a big fan of your father, Tony Robbins. Found out that he had a son. Searched up Jarek Robbins, started going through all your content, saw how you're sort of in the personal development, coaching, training space. And I was like, I want to speak with Jarek. And that's sort of how this sort of came to be. I know we've been chatting over the DMs for quite some time, so I'm glad we're able to set this up.
Of course. There's a bunch of us. I'm one of them.
Yeah. How many siblings do you have?
I have a baby sister. I have two older stepbrothers and an older stepsister as well. And then I have two other stepbrothers from my mom's marriage.
Are you the oldest child?
I am the oldest on my mom's side. I'm the second youngest on my dad's side.
Wow. Do you guys have big yearly family gatherings with the whole family? Is that a thing?
Kind of. I mean, we have lots of pockets of different family in different places. So we tend to pop around and see all the pieces.
That's so cool.
How about yourself?
I'm the older sibling of two younger sisters raised by my mom. My parents split up when I was younger, but I still see my dad here and there. So yeah, it's a pretty small family.
Ah, very cool. And all based in the same place or?
Yes, all based in Sydney, Australia.
Okay. How's Sydney?
Sydney's beautiful. It's recently gotten really hot. So we're hitting sort of 40 degrees Celsius recently as of this week. But last week was much more coldy, rainy. But yeah, it's sort of summer starting to really hit. It's a bit early here, so it's not that hot. So I'm able to wear like a long sleeve. But yeah, it's beautiful. Can't complain.
Oh, that's awesome.
Jarek, please tell the audience a bit about sort of what you've sort of been really focused on as of recent, to give everyone sort of a bit of an understanding. And from there, I can probably dig into different pockets that I think my audience would be interested in.
Sure. So just to give them a little bit of an overview, I've been in the personal development industry, coach training for 20 years now. We have active clients in 131 countries around the world, and we tend to focus on people who are high performers. So I always give the example, if you were to close your eyes and imagine what type of vehicle you would be, we tend to work with people who'd see themselves as like an F1 race car, meaning that's a very specific high performance machine, someone who wants to find a way to expand, to grow, to have more, to do more, to be more. We tend not to work with the Chrysler minivans as much. We get a few of them who want to kind of get souped up, like Mark Wahlberg's version. I don't know if your team can find a picture of Mark Wahlberg's minivan, but he has a decked out minivan. So blacked out windows, blacked out rims, the sliding doors come open with a button. He's got TV screens everywhere in the background. His kids love it. And one, I never knew Mark Wahlberg drove a minivan. Two, of all the minivans I've ever seen, his is definitely the coolest. And so there are some people who might see themselves as a minivan in life, and they would work with us because they want to be the best, the premium, the one that's doing the most or really making the most out of their life. But generally speaking, we work with people who are high performers. If you go down our client list, it's filled with CEOs, executives, consultants from major corporations and banks. We have special operators from the Air Force. I used to coach one of my clients, used to be a Navy SEAL who trained the snipers for the Navy SEALs. We have some really, really incredible athletes from the NFL, MLB, people we work with who are all focused on how do I excel? How do I tap into what's really possible and what I'm truly capable of?
Beautiful. I remember hearing somewhere where you have clients from over 160 plus sort of countries.
So you sort of 131.
131, which is freaking amazing. A lot of our audiences are sort of coaches, agency owners. Do you have any advice when it comes to growing and acquiring customers? Has it all been organic and word of mouth? Did you run a lot of Facebook ads? How do you go about acquiring customers?
Yeah, I didn't run ads for, I've been doing this now for 20 years, 6 years with my dad's company, and then 14 or 15 years on our own. Up until this last year, I've never run ads. And so all of that was organic growth. And the way we did that, which is a common question, because so many people are focused on scaling. And I'll actually give you a story real quick. I remember I was doing a Facebook Live and helping people in their businesses during COVID, and people were showing up and being like, hey, my business just got literally shut down. Like, I am not allowed to open my store or open my gym or open my coffee shop or whatever it was. And they're like, what do I do? And so we were getting creative on finding creative solutions for challenging, you know, problems. As we sat there, we had this lady who showed up from the UK, and she had a cake shop. Like, she made those incredible 7, 10, 15 layer cakes that they have at like the royal parties and the big corporate events. And these are like, you know, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 pounds to purchase one of these cakes. So they're extremely expensive. They're incredibly well done. She's been doing it for 40 years. She's extremely well known, and she's out of business. And so she's living in a cottage out in the countryside. And she said, hey, I can make cakes, but no one in the village I'm in can afford the cakes I make. So that doesn't make any sense. No one's allowed to have any big events or gatherings, so there's no reason to have a cake. This doesn't make any sense. She's like, what do I do? And so I started with a really simple question. I said, if every client who ever purchased from you in your 40 years in business was still an actively paying client, how big would your business be? And she smiled and chuckled, and she said, honey, I would own the BBC. I said, ah. And I said, so it doesn't sound like you have a problem getting clients, because you've had enough clients to own the BBC. It sounds like you have a problem keeping clients. And she smiled and she goes, well, my business doesn't work that way. You know, people don't buy a cake every week. They don't buy a cake every month. And I said, you're telling me that a couple who gets married wouldn't want to receive a piece of their love every month? A little tiny bite just to remind them of how delicious their love is for each other, that commitment they make, and a little token to just appreciate a magic moment with a little card or a little reminder or a little photo from their wedding, celebrating them and their love each month, reminding them to put in the work. And her eyes lit up. And I said, you mean to tell me someone who graduated wouldn't want to be reminded how proud grandma or grandnan or grandpa is of them each month with a little tasty treat? You mean to tell me that someone who had a baby wouldn't want to be reminded of how much their family loves them to send them a little delicious treat every month? And she's like, well, I've never thought of that. And I was like, well, we need to come up with elegant solutions for challenging problems. Like, this is a challenge. It's a real challenge. Everyone's out of business. I get it. And how do we come up with an elegant and creative solution that we haven't thought of before? And so all of a sudden, I helped this person. She was not my coaching client. She was not a paying member of our community. She was not someone who was giving me the big bucks to figure this out for her. And what was the repayment from that? What did I earn? I earned the fact that she knows what we do actually works. I have a cake named after me in the UK now. I can't vouch for it. I don't know if it's delicious or not. I just know it's called the Jerick. And I was like, that is a very awkward name for a cake. I don't know if I would even buy it. I'd question that cake. But hopefully, based on her track record of 40 years of delicious cake making, hopefully that cake is delicious. But there's something neat that happened. And what happened was I earned her future business. I earned the ability to do business with her in the future. And all the people who've ever watched that video, it allowed them to see that we can add real value, not fluff, not hype, not, oh, just try harder, you know, just visualize yourself getting it. You know, if having the goal or visualization was the key, then everyone who had the goal of winning the gold at the Olympics would have it. And they don't. All the people who walked up to the starting line had the same goal. They all had the same vision. Why did one of them win and the other one's lost? It wasn't the goal. It wasn't the vision. There's something else. And so we help people figure out what that something else is to actually get the result they want.
That's beautiful. I did a similar thing with my education company where we recently shifted it over the year from like a set upfront fee to like a monthly subscription payment. And then with, you know, weekly check-ins, accountability coaches, we've been able to sort of get sort of the retention to maybe 6 to maybe 8 months. But we do notice that around the 6 to 8 months mark, we're sending them multiple messages over the last month. We're not getting replies. They're sort of giving up on themselves, and we don't want them to give up, but that seems to be the average point where people sort of life hits them and things come into their life and they just can't continue investing and studying and sort of doing the work themselves.
Yeah. If I were to ask you a different question, if the entire future of your business depended on you keeping those clients, how would you run it different?
Ooh, like I'd fly to the customer's house. I'd knock on their door. I'd be like, hey, I'm here. Let me go into your office and sit down with you and do it with you in person.
You would ensure they get results. Yeah. And so what happens is most of us are so consumed with trying to get more clients that we're not taking care of the ones we have.
Mm.
And there's a deep rooted truth to that. Mm. And someone says, well, then how do I scale? How do I get bigger? How do I make more? Mm. Take care of the ones you have like they're the most important people on earth. And if you took care of the ones you had, like they were the most important people on earth, you'd earn more. And we live in a society that doesn't reward quality. We reward quantity. I doubt you've had someone on here say, you know, I have 10 clients that I've taken care of for the last 50 years so well that I've been able to live the life I want. And I have no more or need no more than my 10 clients. And I serve my 10 clients at the highest level. And it's been the greatest gift in society to serve my 10 clients. Everyone listening would go, I don't want just 10 clients. I want all the clients. I want more clients. I want bigger clients. I want better clients. Well, I'll tell you, if you can't take care of the 10 clients, what'll happen is you'll go get 10 more and the 10 you had will leave and you will perpetually be stuck with churn. And I've talked to some of the biggest businesses in this industry, biggest businesses in this specific education sales industry. The CEO of ClickFunnels used to be one of my personal clients. He came to me, he said, what's your challenge? You have a challenge getting new customers? No, we can get thousands of customers every day. They're not staying. That's interesting. If you ran this business as if all future growth depended on how well you take care of the ones you have, what would you do different? We can't afford to do that. Then you don't deserve more.
When Russell was like, hey, we can't afford to do that.
When you guys actually
wasn't Russell. I wasn't coaching Russell. Russell's a friend, but I wasn't coaching him. I was coaching Dave, who used to run the organization. He's passed away since. So
when Dave sort of said, you know, we can't afford to do that, as you started unpacking that, how did you guys find ways to affordably give more value to their existing customer base in order with the goal of keeping their existing customers forever?
Yeah. So in that specific situation, that's confidential to them. I can't share their stuff. That's part of my agreement with clients I work with. What I can tell you is the broader framework. And the broader framework is you can't afford not to. If you want to run on a hamster wheel your entire business career and constantly be chasing the next client, the next client, the next client, that's fine. Some people live for that. Like I know people who are sales people who love getting the next client. They live for the next contract, the next deal, the next thing they're working on. And perpetually, if you look under the hood, they have massive attrition, massive churn, not only with their external clients, which are their actually paying customers, but their team. I can look under the hood and find out this is the fifth virtual assistant they've had in the last 6 months. I'm like, wow, why in the world does that position keep getting turned over? This is the 10th sales rep they put on their team. Why do these people keep leaving? Well, it's because they can't perform. Blaming it on them. That's interesting. Maybe as an educational company, we haven't provided enough education to our own team to allow them to perform at the highest level. And then, a lot of these little strategic and internal adjustments make a world of difference for the organization, but it's not what we're celebrated for. No one's celebrated for, I have the best internal training for my staff on earth. People go, who cares? How much money did you make? What kind of profit is that? And so again, you have to break the mold. All those tools that we have all these people training on and teaching on and bragging about and being so excited about, and they've got their ClickFunnels record behind them of $1 million, $1 billion, 1 trillion sales. That's great. It's needed. It's important. And it's a very small part of business. and to be standing on stage saying, add more value, add more value, add more value. And then you pull open the numbers and you go, well, why is everybody leaving? There must be a piece of value that's missing. So we ask a question, what's the difference that would make the difference? If you sat down and listed all of the customers you have and asked, what is the difference that would make the difference for each one of those customers? Well, I can't do that. I have thousands of customers. I have tens of thousands of customers. I have millions of customers. Okay, great. And start putting them in pods of similar and like people and ask for that pod, for that group, for that category. What's the difference that makes the difference? And when you find it and you deliver it, if you're willing to meet their needs, wants, and desires better than anyone else on earth, you've earned that customer. There's nowhere else they're going to go because no one else is willing. One of my friends who teaches a course on relationships, she said, we use the word willing, but most people hear that word and think it means, okay, fine, I'm willing. She's like, oh no, honey, I'm talking about willpower, willing, using your will to will something into life, to make something into reality, to find a way or make a way or create a way. I need you to be willing to deliver for these clients more than anyone else on earth is willing to do. If you have that level of commitment to deliver for them, you will earn their business perpetually.
That's beautiful. Jarek, how did you go about finding that your medium of training people in personal development, training sort of high performance people, was your specific passion? Just like how your father's passion is doing these big events and chatting for 10 to 15 hours and putting together this hype, like that's his passion because he somehow is able to do that consistently throughout the year. How do you know that this specific type of coaching is something that was your calling?
Yeah, it's not. So there's a difference. In the beginning of a business, we tend to chase what we're passionate about, what we're excited about. If you want a business to last, you have to reverse that and say, where do my clients get the best results? Who are the humans who work with me that get the biggest return on their investment of time, effort, energy, and money? And whoever the people that get the best, biggest, and most consistent return, those are the people I need to serve. And so I started with my passion, my purpose. I wanted to help all the people who were struggling, who didn't have access to this kind of stuff. And I learned over time, those people did not get a significant enough return on the time, effort, and money investment they were making with me. So I said, those aren't my people. I can't help them get a 10x multiple on the return they invested into me. And I said, who can I help get a 10x multiple? Who can I help that if they invest $1,000, I can get them $10,000 in return? It's not that group. I can't figure it out. They're not my people. I can't serve them. Who can I serve? Who can I help get an insane return? And so I started hunting and I looked through all the clients I had an opportunity to work with and I started to see a pattern. There was a certain type of person who, when they worked with me, the return was exponential. And I went, ooh, somehow what I do, my strategy, my way, my style, my approach, my personality, whatever it is, some part of me helps that kind of person get an exponential return on their investment. That's my person. I'm gonna go find more like them because I became their multiplier. I said, when I team up with a person like that, they invest, you know, $30,000 into one of our high-level business programs and we help them scale their business 2,600% over 3 years. They went from a team of two making $500,000 a year to a team of 11 making $5.5 million a year with 78% profitability. That is an insane ROI for, at that point, a $90,000 investment. And so I look at that and said, damn, I'd be willing to put $90,000 into something if I was able to extract $5.5 million plus another $3 million plus another $500,000. Shit, five, six, seven, eight, nine, that's almost $9 million return for a $90,000 investment in 3 years of effort. Where else can you put in 90 grand and get out 9 million? Nowhere. Exactly why they're still my client.
And how do you go about sort of continually having, like once they've fixed their hiring problem, scaling problem, giving more value and increasing LTV of customers, I guess, is there like an infinite amount of sort of place and knowledge that you can keep filling in and sort of have the client for 50 years and you're constantly learning yourself so that you're constantly having new things to provide?
Totally. It's patterns, pattern recognition and support in the right place at the right time. My longest standing client I've worked with is 13. He paused for 2 years. He's coming back 14, 15 years. That's as long as my business has been open. I've had a client from year one stick with me the entire time. We've been through launching companies, failing companies, getting married, getting divorced, having children. We've been through the gambit together. And he's watched me grow. I went from living in the front den of a house with four roommates to, you know, now we have houses all over the world and we're doing extremely well. And it's a totally different life. And now I invite him to investments where he goes, ah, that's above my pay grade. And I was like, well, I just did it. Why aren't you doing it? And he laughs. He goes, yeah, I remember when you used to be the small fry. I said, I do too, bud. I caught up. I learned from you. And he goes, I know. I taught you. I said, okay, cool. And so how did that happen? And why does he stay with me for so long? Is it because I came up with new things to tell him every Thursday? No. It's because I've helped him map his patterns of success. And I help understand when he's on track and off track, just like flying a plane. Just like charting a course in a boat or a ship, you got to drive it. You know, nowadays we have this thing called autopilot, but even then you got to keep it on track. You got to keep it on course. It's inevitably going to lean off track a little and someone or something needs to bring it back. And so that same challenge, why has he worked with me for so long? Because he gets off track. Life happens. Kids happen. Family happens. A wife happens. A business happens. Things go up and down, things get on track and off track. And as that happens, the work we do together is figuring out how to bring him right back to where he needs to be. And as we do that, he's gotten exponential returns on his investment. It's wild. I pull up people's accounts now in our financial system. And I'm like, holy crap. You know how much money they've invested with us over the years? Wow. And then I smile and I say, let's add up the multiple they've gotten on that. And I'm like, wow, that's crazy. They've invested hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars into working with us over 13 years. He's probably close to a million something. And it's like, but we've helped him make tens of millions. Holy smokes. And so I look at it as an ROI. And people say, well, in my type of coaching, and I do relationship coaching, I do health coaching. I don't know what money they make back. How do I measure the ROI? You have to come up with that. You have to figure it out. I was talking to someone who was a health coach and I said, I don't know. If I said, hey, let's figure out how much 5 years of your life is worth. If I were to write you a check and we figured out exactly when you were going to die and we say, okay, if I give you the check right now, we have to end it 5 years early. What number do I have to write for you to be willing to give up 5 years of your life? I've yet to find a person who blurts out a random number. Everyone goes, yeah, no way. There's no amount of money that's worth me giving up 5 years of my life. Not a chance. And I go, well, that sounds kind of valuable then. I bet there's some bad habits you have that are probably going to cost you 5 years of your life. How much would it be worth to invest into someone who could help you kick those bad habits and replace them with something much better and actually get you back 5 years of your life? It's probably worth a significant investment, but you need to be able to measure it. You need to know that it actually worked. You need a baseline to measure against and actual metrics of improvement. You can't just be like, well, they feel better and they lost 3 pounds, that's not worth it. But if you can say, hey, number one measurement of longevity is heart rate variability, according to a $1 million study done in Silicon Valley. And when they started working with me, their heart rate variability was average 36. After 6 months of working together on optimizing their nutrition, sleep, health, and movement, we got their heart rate variability to an average of 94. That's a measurable difference. That's worth an investment. That is a strong ROI. I talk about people in their relationships. You know, we could talk about a heart attack. We could talk about a divorce. How expensive are those? I had someone tell me one time, like, oh, I need to hire you to help me with my relationship, but can you give me the relationship pricing, not the business pricing? I said, sure. Add up your net worth, divide by 2. If I can save you more than that, it's probably worth it, right? They're like, shit, I didn't think about that. And I'm like, it's going to be that plus a massive distraction from your health, from your business and everything else for at least 6 to 12 months. So if I can get you 6 to 12 months of your life back and your net worth to stay where it's at, what's that worth? And they're like, well, fuck, here, where do we get started? I'm like, oh, okay, I could explain the value.
You have this amazing ability to read my mind with my follow-up questions and answer it before I even ask the follow-up question, Jarek. I was listening to your story. It was like a story about you getting malaria. I think it was sort of in one of those countries in Africa. And it was so cool just to hear how you sort of went to volunteer and learn about these skills and then teach the locals how to go ahead and build these huts. It seems like you've been on this sort of journey of sort of self-discovery. And I was going to ask, like, how did you learn everything that you know now? Was it like through self-learning? Did you shadow your father and learn? Because there's a lot of mirrors in things that you know and that he knows. How did you go about learning everything you know, Joe?
Mainly osmosis. So I figure if you swim in the right pool, you pick up all the thoughts. I'm totally joking. No, how do you learn it? Through experience. And how do you make good decisions? Usually by making bad decisions. And you know, how you learn anything is through messing up. I think one of my favorite speeches is Denzel Washington at a college graduation. He's like, hey, let me be straight with you. You're going to fail. You're going to fail a lot. There's a lot of stuff you're going to go try and just find out doesn't work. That ain't it. You messed up. And the better you can do that, the more quickly you can do that, the quicker you can learn from those situations, the further you will go. And the ability to step into those situations that are uncomfortable makes a wild difference. And so I'm passionate about when I lock on to something I'm curious about, I'm always hunting for, like, what's my next thing? What's the thing I want to learn about? I want to practice. I want to study. What's the skill set I want to acquire? And whenever I find it, I'll say, okay, let's break it down. There's the education, there's the actual skill building, and then there's practice and refinement. And I was like, okay, if those are the three pieces, what in the world am I trying to figure out how to master right now? Where can I gather the education and the tools and the resources and learn all the bits and pieces, learn the language, all the different bits and pieces of it? Where can I build the skill set? Because I'm going to need a skill set where I need to learn how to do those things. And then where is my space to practice? You know, it would be ridiculous for an NBA player to say, hey, I'm not going to practice anymore. I'm in the NBA. I'm just going to show up to the games and win big. Huh. You'd be like, you an idiot? You kidding me? You can't just show up to the games. You got to show up to practice. You got to do your practice every single day and improve so that during the games, you get rewarded in public for what you practiced in private. What are you practicing? So that when you have a chance to show up, you can really deliver. And so that thought of, I need all three of those pieces. And so when I lock on to a new category or topic or interest, my first question is, where can I gain the best education in the world on this topic? Where can I gather all the information so I can start soaking in all the stuff that goes along with this topic? Once I've gathered the info, great. Now I know what I need to do. How do I now build the skill set? Because there's a skill set that goes with it. Awesome. Now that I have the skill set, how do I practice repetitively until I really master the art? Practice. And then go out in the real world and actually deliver. Be like, I have the education. I've built the skill set. I've practiced like crazy. I'm ready. Now you step out into the real world and take a swing. See what you can do.
Has there been anything that you've currently been focused on learning and understanding, like AI, or what has been your current sort of focus?
New thing right now is private equity. So private equity, private debt, private real estate, private credit, all these different spaces and fields became very fascinating to me. I started studying and looking around of how can we expand the impact we have in the world. And so we've been able to do really well. We've built schools. We've been able to partner with organizations that help and sex trafficking. We've done all these different things. And my wife has this deep-rooted desire. It's one of her dreams to have a fund we put together where the fund's interest will perpetually and forever pay for causes we really believe in. And she came across that a long time ago with something called the Hershey Fund, where the Hershey family had left behind an investment portfolio where the interest continually and perpetually forever paid for causes they believed in. And she was like, that's cool. And she was like, we need to do that. And so I started doing our math of our businesses and was like, well, I don't know if we're going to add up to that kind of money and that kind of size at this rate. So we're going to have to find a different vehicle that does have that potential growth. So I started looking. And I said, okay, education. How do I learn about this space? Luckily, Dad just finished writing a really cool book on the topic where he goes through all the different asset classes and different ways of investing in them. And I was like, huh, Dad's on this too. He sees it. He sees what I see. We were going on two different paths about it. And I was like, dang, I need to figure out how to get into this world. This is like, this is where the top 0.0001% of people on earth invest into. I think if you look at the average portfolio, it's like 90% stocks and bonds and maybe 10 or less percent of alternative investments. If you look at the ultra high net worth individuals, 45% of their portfolios are in alternative investments. And I was like, holy smokes, the rich people understand this. Why don't the rest of us hear about it? And then the question was like, well, how do you access it? And here in the US, they have something called, you have to be a qualified purchaser. A qualified purchaser means you need at least $5 million of liquid investable assets. And I was like, this is why we don't hear about it. Because most people don't have that kind of liquid investable assets to even qualify to hear about these investments. It's like, that's interesting. And so I went and talked to Dad and his team. I'm like, I got to invest in this stuff last year and I've seen the return and how they're doing it. I'm like, this is incredible. Like, this is amazing. How do other people get access to this? And my first thought is the people I love. How do I get my uncle into this? How do I get my aunt? How do I get my father-in-law? How do I get our cousins? And how do I help all my people I love get this kind of return and get this kind of asset protection and this kind of investments? And so I text my stepbrother and I was like, hey, how do we get our friends and family into this? Like, can I pool all their money and just put it under my name in the investment? He texts back, that is illegal. I'm like, damn it. Can I start a micro fund where they invest in my fund and then my fund invests in this? That is illegal. I was like, what the hell? Why is this? This is so not fair. Like, the richest and most largest portfolios on earth get the best stuff and everyone else gets left with the crumbs. This sucks. And the best stuff is less risky with better returns. And the crumbs are more risky with shitty returns. I was like, this world's really jacked up. Like, no wonder they say the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. Like, it's not set up for normal people to be able to win the game. And so I was like, we got to figure this out. And I started brainstorming all the ways I thought I could figure it out. And I went and found a partner and her and I started working together on creative solutions and ideas. And we were coming together. From an investment I made last year in a fund, I got invited to their yearly event. And we went to their yearly event last week in Houston. And they announced that they've actually filed and got a fund approved that allows a mirrored fund, so a very similar portfolio than the one we invested in, to be available for qualified investors. And I went, yes, finally, like, all right. And then I looked at the numbers for qualified investors, and that means you either need $1 million net worth, not including your main home or residence, or you need to earn $200,000 a year as a single or $300,000 a year as a couple. And I went, oof, that's still more than my aunts and uncles have. That's still more than my father-in-law. That's still more than the people I care about. Damn it. I'm like, it's closer though, moving in the right direction. And in the US, there's a piece of legislation coming through that I think is one of the coolest pieces of law I've seen in a long time. And the legislation says, we don't think how much money you have should determine if you get access to the best investment vehicles or not. The legislation says, if someone who's willing to study, learn, educate themselves, and take and pass an exam that proves they understand what they're doing, then regardless of how much money they have, they become a qualified investor and get access to some of the best investments on earth. And I was like, yes! Now we're talking. And I was like, okay. My wife and I sat down and we're like, what's on this test? We're going to have to get my father-in-law ready for it. We're going to have to get my uncle ready for it. So we started celebrating, one, hoping, knock on wood, this law passes. And then two, getting our family and friends and people we care about ready to learn, study, practice, and take that exam. And so that we can get them invested. And then the neat part was they dropped the minimum. It used to be $1 million as a qualified purchaser. Then they dropped it down and they got the minimum on this specific fund all the way down to $25,000. I was like, now they're really doing something cool. And so I'm really, really excited about that, because as long as all the legal side comes together and as long as the law passes, there's a few big hurdles, but I'm excited for the potential of being able to help the people I love most get access to great places to protect and grow their life savings and wealth so that they have a chance at financial freedom in some way too.
One last topic I'd love to get your thoughts on. Something I always think about is sort of when I have my own child and how I'd go about sort of raising the child. You know, I'd love the child to be sort of similar to me, but at the same time, I know that every child has its own sort of soul. I know my siblings are completely different to me, and no matter, you know, the worst thing I can do is give them advice. What's your advice when it comes to raising a mini you, a baby you?
The only thought in my head is you must think very highly of yourself to say, I hope this one turns out as great as I am. I love the confidence. The truth, I'm just teasing, but I heard it. I smiled. I'm like, man, he believes in himself. My thought with my son is, how do I make sure he has a great life? How do I make sure that whatever he dreams about in his life, we help him get into the position where if he really puts in the effort, he can live his dreams. He can do the things he really imagines in his life. I'll take a step back. One of my favorite things in the world is helping my wife turn her dreams into reality. So I have a long list of all the things that are her life dreams. And every year I make it a personal goal of mine to make one of those dreams real. And so luckily, a lot of her life dreams have to do with animals in different ways, shapes, or forms. So we've flown to the Bahamas so she could swim with the swimming pigs. We've gone to Australia so she could cuddle a koala and, you know, hang out with a kangaroo. I know you guys don't think they're special. We think they're cool. They're currently they're like the American cow in Australia. So it's like hanging out with cows in America. But still, we thought they're amazing. We got to go feed some kangaroos. And then my favorite, we flew to Chengdu in China so she could snuggle a panda bear. And we've done all these things. And it fills my heart with joy to watch my wife live her dreams. She calls it happiness hangovers, where the day after cuddling the panda bears in Chengdu, China, she just randomly would break out in tears. And I'm like, what's wrong? Are you okay? She's like, I'm just so happy. Like 13-year-old Amanda is doing backflips right now. This is amazing. You know, her favorite volleyball player in the world was Gabby Reese, and I had a friend go interview Gabby and get a signed volleyball for her that I gave her to her for her birthday. Like, my mission is to turn her dreams into reality. And so I look at my son and I say, I'm going to carry that same mission. I want my son to live his dreams, whatever it is he dreams of. And one of the greatest gifts my dad gave me was the ability to earn my dreams. So I'm not just going to give it to him, but I will help him figure out what education he needs, what skill set he needs, what practice he needs to be able to build the muscles personally to go live his dreams and to go do what he desires to do in his life. And I think that's the greatest gift you can give anybody, is helping them gain the skills, helping them gain the tools, helping them gain the strategies to actually go turn their dreams into reality and live the life they really dream of. And so we do that in all of our programs. But it's the same way I'd raise my son, is the same way I equip our students and our members and our community with the tools to turn their visions into reality.
That's beautiful. I love that, Jarek. Last question. Has there been anything that you've recently, sort of any recent discoveries that you've implemented into your life?
Recent discoveries. Oof, what's the newest thing we started doing? I don't know what came first. I mean, we love health and optimizing our health. So we have a biocharger, Nano V, Normatec boots, Asana, cold plunge, special water machine. Like, we love this stuff. I know I have a PEMF, a Beamer machine on my list of toys to buy. I have a Ski Erg as a new equipment I want to buy for working out. These are fun things we get because they're interesting ways to keep our health optimized. I guess those are all fun things. I don't know if people find those interesting. I do. I think they're cool.
I love it, Jarek. Jarek, where can people get more of you? You drop so much value here. Where can our audience sort of just get more of Jarek?
Yeah. Social platforms, just at Jarek Robbins. If you Google my name, all of that stuff will come up. If you go to our website and opt in, jarekrobbins.com, we have weekly wisdom, we call it, we sent out, which is an email. Depending on what category you're interested in, it'll let you pick your category and we'll send you regular tools and information every single week. For people who are interested in gaining the skills and tool sets that I have, and they want them to first for some self-coaching of leveling up their own life and then helping others do it, they can go to performancecoachuniversity.com/apply and they can apply to see if they're the right fit for an upcoming coaching certification cohort that we have.
Thank you so much, Jack. I really appreciate your time today. I feel like I definitely scratched the surface. I can just feel the wealth of experience and knowledge underneath this iceberg. And yeah, it was just so amazing to hit all these different topics and just see how like knowledgeable you are in each of these fields. And you know, a lot of the podcasts I listened to, you talked a lot about sort of personal development, health, biohacking. So I was glad we're able to dig into these other topics, but I still felt like I just scratched the surface. But I love like how passionate you are, how customer centric you are, and at the same time you have this contagious energy, and I could feel it through the screen. And thank you so much for your time today.
You're so welcome. Thanks for having me.
This is another episode of the podcast. Hopefully you guys got some value and it was worth your time today. Please let me know your thoughts, send me a message. I'd love to hear your feedback, and hopefully I'll see you guys next week on another episode. Peace.